Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, a belated Merry Christmas to you. We want to give you a special gift today. It's one of our best of messages from earlier this year. This is one of the messages that folks especially enjoyed. And, of course, all of these you are welcome to download in an MP3 format from our website, and we'd love for you to do so. And while you're there, you can also make a secure gift online. If you get it in by December 31st, it's tax deductible on this year's taxes. That's always a good thing. But enjoy today's program, folks. It's from our Best Of series this week. Folks, my guest today is Eric Weinmayer. He is an author and so much more. On May 25th of 2001, he became the only blind man in history to reach the summit of the world's highest peak, Mount Everest. And on September 5th, 2002, when he stood on top of Mount Kosciuszko in Australia, Eric completed his seven-year quest to climb the seven summits, the highest peaks on each of the seven continents. He has done a lot more since then, and in fact, if you read the dust jacket to his newest book, when he was coming down from his climb up Everest, his expedition leader slapped him on the back and said something that would affect the course of Eric's life. And I quote, "Don't make Everest the greatest thing you ever do." Eric, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you very much.
You have accomplished so many things that most people don't even dream of accomplishing. Most people don't challenge themselves in the way that you challenge yourself routinely. But you've done more than that, and that is you've started a movement to challenge others to be more than they thought they could be, to do more than they thought they could do. And that's why it's a delight for me to welcome you to the broadcast today.
Well, thank you. And, you know, in comment to that, you know, it is good for people to know that I'm not some super disabled person or, you know, super freak of nature, afraid. You know, I have limitations, I have fears, I have doubt, like every other human being on Earth. And, you know, it's been a sort of journey to keep your mind focused and positive and moving forward, not to allow yourself to get bitter or sort of reeling and reacting and responding and sort of hyper-focused on just like the latest slice of awareness, but really trying to dig deep into what's inside, that beautiful spiritual thing that exists inside, and tap into it and grow it and nurture it and keep moving forward in sort of unpredictable ways.
Well, in your newest book, which is titled No Barriers, very fittingly, you use your experience in your latest greatest challenge, which was kayaking down the Grand Canyon. And in the midst of it, you are refreshingly honest and picking up on what you were just saying about not letting that darkness overtake you. May I read just a paragraph from this newest book, No Barriers?
Please do.
Eric writes, "Once I got home, I tried to put on a tough facade for Ellie and the kids. But inside, I felt flat and damaged somehow. My only strong emotion seemed to be fear and a vague dread. I often found myself lost in thought, fighting the boils or lying on that rock trying to convince myself to get back in my boat. The doubt and questioning began to eat at me like roiling tentacles reaching out for me from the dark water. In my typical dreams, I could see the way I did before I went blind, with rudimentary shapes and images. It was pleasant to revisit wonderful places from my childhood, like the forest behind my house, the trees blazing with vibrant fall colors. But in my new dreams, I was totally blind. In fact, more than blind. Everything was thick, suffocating blackness, with the overwhelming roar of the rapids engulfing all sound. Rob was nowhere to be found. I was totally on my own as I rushed headlong downriver, twisting and turning into a raging tumult that I knew would drag me under and consume me. That's powerful, man, but that's also honest.
We at No Barriers work with all kinds of people with quote-unquote challenges, and that's not just blind people like myself, or people who are in wheelchairs or people who are missing limbs, and that's part of our community, but people who do experience anxiety and fear and doubt, and they're cancer survivors. They have PTSD, which is, you know, a scar that's sort of a psychological scar inside their soul that they can't seem to break through. And so those are the invisible challenges of life, and that's what I was experiencing as I was trying to go under, you know, embark on the 6-year journey to kayak the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
Along the way, I felt like I got broken. I got pulled out of my boat on this river and sucked into this whirlpool, giant whirlpool that literally sucked the shoes off my feet. And after that, I had a lot of trouble getting into my boat. I felt like I was experiencing some of the same things that we ask our participants to break through. And in a way, it turned out to be a kind of a gift to me that I could get an insight into what our groups, our community were experiencing firsthand, that kind of deep, profound fear that you can't seem to break through. And ultimately, I found a way to at least confront that fear and manage it, but it wasn't easy.
Well, and again, I appreciate so much that you don't just talk about your successes. You talk about the challenges. You talk about your own struggle, because that is what makes the success that much sweeter.
Yeah, and I thought, I mean, first of all, I didn't really even want to write the book. I wanted to climb and kayak. That's way more fun than sitting at your computer for 10 hours a day in dirty sweatpants drinking coffee.
Yes.
That's the reason exactly I decided to write the book, was because I didn't feel like anyone had ever adequately mapped out that journey. I think we get sort of just misled by movies, popular movies, and all the like fictional books out there that, you know, just success is like this nice crescendo. Yep. You know, you rise up onto this great crescendo with, you know, violin music, and then everything's wrapped up in a nice bow, and then everyone goes home. That's not life. You know, the process of growth is pretty dark and uncertain, and I wanted to illuminate what that map looks like for people and show, you know, people who dream big like myself and then along the way get stuck or derailed. And how do you break through? How do you create that map, as messy as it is, to move forward in all kinds of surprising ways? I feel like it's almost like you're not almost, it is like you're grabbing hold of a kind of a storm of adversity, and you're riding that storm, and there takes a lot of courage to ride that storm, because it's not like a nice smooth car ride. It's more like a crazy storm of energy that you're trying to ride.
Yeah. Well, again, I appreciate the honesty. I think that that makes what you write so much more, not just engaging, but helpful, because a lot of people do feel like, if my life isn't like those movies with violin music, then I guess I'm just never going to accomplish anything. And they don't set goals, and they don't work at it, and they don't understand there is a cost for anything of value.
Oh, so true. It's so true. And it's sort of like almost like we've lost that sort of insight in our society, not to complain about that, but just a little bit, I feel like that's true. And you know, that's why also, besides just writing about my story, I sprinkle throughout the book all sorts of other people that I feel have really been sincerely trying to live this No Barriers life. And most of them have been absolutely crushed, you know, and they're like sort of like a, you know, like a windswept rock face. You know, they're eroded by time and circumstances, and And what emerges from that is can be pretty profound.
Mm-hmm.
Paraplegic folks who have climbed huge mountains, and people who are quadruple amputees who have crabbed their way to the tops of mountains.
Amazing.
A friend of mine who's a deaf musician. She sings by the inner voice that she hears in her brain when mm-hmm. she could hear.
Mm-hmm.
She actually writes her own music.
Tremendous.
And it's sort of this idea of singing music that you will never hear.
Yeah.
And it's like, it moves beyond logic. It's
yep.
so counterintuitive. It moves into the world of faith. You know, like,
mm-hmm.
you're like this boat that's just drifting through the sea, and you still expect to wind up at your destination.
Yes.
It just moves beyond anything that we're taught. And then beyond the physical challenges, you know, I write about these cool people, friends of mine, you know,
mm-hmm.
like this guy, Paul Smith, had a very tough life. You know, he was blown up in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
We work with a lot of injured soldiers, and, you know, he could live with the burns and the scars, but the shame of leaving his team behind really
mm-hmm.
sent him into a free fall, and
mm-hmm.
he lost his family, alcoholism, drugs, suicide attempts, car accidents, and, you know, just in the depths. And we climbed a peak called Gannett Peak together as part of our No Barriers program with
yes.
a group of warriors. And since that program, he has completed 3 pledges. We ask our participants to complete pledges. 1, he got his family out of this really violent situation that he mm-hmm. had to get out of. He's moved to Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
They're healthy and happy.
Great.
2, he got off of painkillers.
Wonderful.
That were destroying his life. He
mm-hmm.
checked himself in and got off of painkillers. And the 3rd was to climb one of our Rocky Mountain 14,000-foot peaks addiction-free. And that's the kind of person I wanted to study.
Yes.
Like real people, you know, not fictional movie characters, but real people who struggle and kind of are confronted at those pivotal moments, like, how do I break through this?
Yes.
And to me, I was fascinated by that.
Yeah. Folks, my guest, Eric Weinmayer, is an amazing individual, but he's a person who shares very honestly where he's coming from. He leads this organization that impacts over 5,000 challenged people annually, including many injured soldiers, encouraging them to live a no-barriers life. I'm delighted to get to talk with you, Eric. Thank you for coming on the broadcast. Let me ask you about a couple of other things you share in this book. And by the way, folks, the book is No Barriers. It's a blind man's journey to kayak the Grand Canyon. No Barriers. Eric, I want to talk with you about another remarkable thing. You have a son, Arjun, that you adopted.
Yes.
You brought him halfway around the world.
Yeah.
And I know a little of what that's like. My wife and I have 7 children, 4 of them adopted, and 3 of them are from Ukraine. So when you write this next section I'd like to read, I can relate to this in a way that not everyone can.
Yes.
But as you were trying to help your son understand what
yes.
his future looked like, you said, you know how Uncle Rob has been helping me, teaching me how to kayak. Uh-huh, he said. Well, that's so I can have fun, but it's also so I can be safe. He's teaching me to avoid the big rocks and other dangerous places in the river. He's helping me find my way downstream. I can't see what's ahead of me, so I have to trust him. I let that sink in. Then I grabbed a little piece of driftwood from the shore and knelt down into the wet sand right at the water's edge. A river flows from the mountains down to the sea, Arjun. It's a long journey with lots of twists and turns, like you coming to America. It's a journey, and you are just at the beginning. Like me with kayaking, you can't always see what's ahead, and there will be lots of boulders and rapids along the way. I guided his hand to the piece of driftwood, and I threw it out into the water. That piece of wood will float downstream, and there is no telling exactly where it's going to go. There's no one there to help it along the way, to be there if it runs into trouble or starts to sink. Okay, Arjun said. He seemed to be watching the driftwood intently, half listening to me. But on your new journey here in America, I said, Mom and I are here for you. We will be here to help you if you flip over or when you run through the rapids. I promise, we will be here, always. I reached out and touched Arjun's hair. Then I turned his face toward mine. Always, I repeated. Man, I love that. That is not only a beautiful movie moment. I mean, that is a powerful image. But I love it also because as a dad who brought kids halfway around the world and who wanted them to know, one of the main things, it took us a while to really get them to believe, was that they were not being adopted on probation.
Right.
They weren't being brought to America to see if we were happy with them.
Right.
They didn't have to worry that somehow they were going to do something or say something that would cause us to give up on them. They were ours for life, and we wanted them to know that. And it did take a while to get them to believe it. You worked hard, obviously, to help your son, Arjun, to understand that and to believe that. And it reminds me of the promise that God makes to his children, that in this river where life seems so often out of control with forces that are stronger than we are and capable of crushing us and drowning us, God promises his children that whatever we go through, we'll never be alone. He'll always be there with us. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And I must say, my experience as an adoptive father taught me more about God's love for me than anything I learned in seminary. Because being a parent who loves his child, even when the child doesn't understand what's going on, even when the current is so strong, being a parent who loves his child, I am reminded that the river may not be a place where I feel like I'm safe. But the fact of the matter is, there's one who's bigger than the river. There is a God. Whether you know him or not, whether you believe in him or not, there is a God who is very real, who created the river, and who's still in control.
We all need a guide.
That's right. We all need a guide. We all need a guide. You talk in the book about your own existential doubts and questions. You talk about the star bear that Timmy had spied above us two nights before, paws reaching skyward and its snout pointing down canyon as if to say, trust me, trust the river. But it had all been false, just empty sky with no substance, no meaning at all. I laughed bitterly. Screwed by the star bear, I thought, my face pressed into my sleeping bag. Maybe all these ideas, like belief, like faith, like will, they were just illusions, as void as an endless sky. They were human constructs to tempt us toward false hope, false understanding. And they were nothing in the face of such immeasurable power. The thrust of the mountains spewing magma and raining down boulders. The violence of rivers to bore through 1,000-foot-high lava dams. Now again, I appreciate your honesty, whether you're talking about feeling just suffocating in blackness, having dreams where you cannot see.
Yeah.
And I appreciate here you're talking about your own doubts. Tell me, having shared that you have doubts, tell me, what part does faith play in your life?
Well, that section came after I kayaked through a section of the Grand Canyon called Lava Falls.
Yes.
I had trained for 6 years, and I had this belief that you commit to something, you have a great team, you prepare like crazy, you have this no barriers mindset.
Yeah.
And, you know, all these barriers will just sort of fall down before you, and you will be sort of gifted with this storybook ending. And instead, my trip through lava, I got flipped 4 times. I got flipped right in the beginning, and I barely rolled up, and I just, the rest of the run was really bad. I was hitting all the waves backwards and sideways. Even my guide, Harlan, who was yelling directions at me via the radio, he put his paddle up against the wave, and it busted his carbon fiber paddle in half. It wow. shattered it, smashed him in the nose. He was bleeding upside down. He got spit out the bottom. Mm-hmm. I wound up pulling my skirt off my kayak and swimming blind mm-hmm. through lava falls. And I camped at the base of that rapid, listening to the river and just, you know, thinking those thoughts that you just read, mm-hmm. just shattered. And, you know, life isn't that traditional storybook ending that you always think. I thought about all these people like Mandy Harvey, you know, the deaf musician mm-hmm. who sort of preceded by faith, and these people like my kayaking guide who had stage 4 prostate cancer mm-hmm. but had made this courageous decision to still guide me down the river.
Yeah.
I thought about these amazing people. Terry Fox, who was
right.
who I wrote about in the book, he got cancer. He lost a leg. They fit him with a prosthetic leg, and he ran across Canada. Mm-hmm. And he got about halfway across Canada when cancer came back and killed him. Mm-hmm. 22 years on Earth, mm-hmm. but he made a huge impact. And so I thought about my own faith in our journeys, mm-hmm. and I said, you know, I got to live with courage like these people. Mm-hmm. You know, these people are my guides, and they teach me how to live, you know. Mm-hmm. And I ultimately decided to go back and kayak through lava again. I hiked upstream with my boat and my team, and we did it again. And so, it wasn't that perfect movie crescendo.
Right.
But I made it through intact in my boat. There were a lot of hugs and tears. At the end of the Grand Canyon journey, my family, to my surprise, flew out and came down this long dirt road and met us at the river's edge.
Right.
They were waiting for me. And Harlan was crying because the Grand Canyon was his sort of home away from home. Mm-hmm. You know, this massive place that could crush you and knock you down. But he had guided me safely through that river. And so I was just so grateful. And so I used to be more scared talking about my faith. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. as I get older and older, I say, yeah, 100% life is faith.
You sometimes respond to the statement, seeing is believing, with a different statement, don't you?
Yeah. I think believing is seeing, right? You have to believe before you see.
Yeah.
And
I think you're right.
Yeah. And I think people get mistaken by that, you know?
Yep.
Of course, there's, you know, things like science that are based on empirical evidence and so forth, and that's all great. But I'm mm-hmm. talking about things like my decision, like you made, to mm-hmm. adopt a child. Mm-hmm. None of that's not science. That's not like, you know, you can do all the research you want, and then you're still picking a speck of sand out of the vast beach of life. And you're mm-hmm. still picking a speck of dust out of the universe mm-hmm. and having faith that that's the right decision.
Yep.
You know, there's so many parts of our life that we forsake are just pure faith.
Yes. I am so grateful, not only for this latest book, No Barriers, but I'm grateful that it's not a work of fiction. It is a testimony of a life that is not just personally daring, but is challenging and equipping and encouraging and inspiring thousands of other people every year to go beyond what they ever dreamed was possible. Eric, thank you so much for coming on the broadcast, and thank you for doing what you do.
My pleasure. And if people enjoy the book, write us at my website, which is touchthetop.com. Tell us. I love hearing feedback. I love hearing people's No Barrier stories. We really want to connect with the community and build this movement, and like you are doing so well, and just bring people into this community and so that we're all getting stronger together.
Excellent. Hi, this is Jim Wood with Abiding in Christ. As our financial year comes to a close on December 31st, we would be especially grateful to hear from you. This broadcast is funded by the generosity of God's people. And whether you use the postal service or give securely online by going to pastorwood.org or call us at 866-41-ABIDE. In any case, we're grateful for gifts large and small. Every gift matters, and we're trusting God to reward you. He promised He will. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.